Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob is gone for the day. Chris Hoke, gone for the day. Tyler Kennedy and Max Talbot, gone for the day. It was quite a party, Limits. It feels like we need to start a new party. Would you like
yes.
to do that? We still have an hour left, and who better than Mike DeFabo to get this thing kicked off,
well,
right?
Let's do it.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic joins us. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike, how are you today? Thank you for coming on at the last minute. What a man you've become.
Joe, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show. As usual, I'm happy to answer any medical questions that you might have for me or help you out with how to take your medication, anything along those lines like I usually do.
I may get around to that. First, I want to tell people that Sports Talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, Mike, the Steelers sit here at 1-1, a very, very tiny sample size. Give me a reason for optimism going into the next part of their schedule here, the final 15 games, and a reason for pessimism.
Well, maybe because I'm just a cranky old Yinzer guy now these days. I'll just start with the pessimism. The reason for pessimism is that a lot of the defense is nowhere close to what they said they were going to be, and it's a problem. They are giving up the most explosive plays out of any team in the NFL right now, and it's happening both on the ground and through the air. So there is not an easy fix that you can turn to and say, oh, here's the problem, here's how they fix it, because it's numerous things right now. And I just feel like they're getting bullied up front in the trenches. I'm worried that guys like Keanu Benton are regressing instead of improving in their year three, which I start to question the coaching staff. Are they developing anybody? If he's regressing, if you're not seeing growth from the offensive line, if you're not seeing growth from Peyton Wilson, if you're not seeing growth from Joey Porter Jr., to me, a lot of it points back to the coaching staff and the player development. If these guys have shown promise earlier in their career and now they're fizzling. So that's a lot of the reason for pessimism, Joe.
No, I hear that. I hear all of it.
I guess optimism is that you've loaded this defense and this roster with talent. You look at this defense on paper, and at every single position, you have a guy who's capable virtually of making the Pro Bowl. So they have plenty to work with, and now I think it's just incumbent upon the coaching staff to develop these players and put them in a position to be successful.
Mike DeFabo. Mike, your phone is it buzzing? Is that an accurate word, Limits? It's clicking, isn't it? Mike has a clicking phone
just
today.
Just a tad bit.
Is that his fault or our fault? Maybe a little
know.
Bit of both?
I don't know. It might be his connection. It might be okay. The wind out there.
Well, let's see how this goes, Mike. I'm watching the Dolphins closely tonight. If they lose and go to 0-3, I'm wondering if they're going to fire their coach pretty soon. And then I think about Tyreek Hill, and he's got some issues off the field as usual. But you can't deny his talent. You also can't deny that the Steelers could certainly use a talent like that and might still need a number two receiver. Is that going to be a realistic option at all, do you think?
I think that it's going to be something that's fun to talk about on the radio, and I agree with you in the sense that they do need another receiving threat. I just don't know how realistic it's going to be, because I think that Omar Khan and Andy Weidel have made a real concerted effort to weed out a lot of personalities, especially in the wide receiver room. And I just feel like you'd be opening that can of worms back up if you welcomed a guy like Tyreek Hill. You know, I really don't know how realistic it is, but at the same time, like, I'm reluctant to completely shut something down and say there's no chance of that happening, because Omar Khan does seem to be so aggressive and so unpredictable. And we've seen plenty of wide receivers who you look at the stat, these like Vegas odds, and they say next team, and the Steelers are always atop the list, and somehow they land these guys. So I don't want to completely shut the door, but I think it's unlikely.
Well, let's go back to the defensive side of the ball. I was talking to Chris Hoke today about replacements, possible lineup maneuvering by Mike Tomlin, and the guys that always come up are Keanu Benton, maybe Cole Holcomb coming in for Peyton Wilson, and what's going to happen in Alex Highsmith's spot. Rather than ask you what you think, what do you know here? Will there be any of that? Are we going to see somebody else in Benton's place a little bit? Y.A. Black, maybe? Are we going to see maybe more Cole Holcomb? And what happens in Highsmith's spot between Jack Sawyer and Herbig?
Well, here's what I can tell you. You know, earlier this week, Mike Tomlin said that they would take a hard look at how they divide up the labor. That's his way of basically telling you there's going to be some personnel changes. And so today when we talked to defensive coordinator Terrell Austin, he mentioned Jabril Peppers. Now that he's been with the team for 2 weeks, he said they're going to find a place for him on the field. So, you know, I think that's one change in some packages and some personnel groupings. I think that you're going to see more Jabril Peppers instead of some of those other two. I think you're still going to see the other two safeties, Chuck Clark and Juan Thornhill, but I think that you're going to see much more of Jabril Peppers in some different packages. And then up front, Daniel Ekwale, I think, played well in his handful or maybe more than handful of snaps, and Keanu Benton has regressed. He doesn't seem to me like he's getting off of the football. He's just getting consumed by double teams and pushed downfield. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that they have right now in stopping the run is Keanu Benton's poor performance. So I hear what you're saying with Y.A. Black, that maybe long-term he could be part of the solution at nose. But I think in the short term, I think Daniel Ekwale is the guy who's going to start to see more reps. You know, and then I just wonder, like, eventually, before too long, how quickly can Juwan Bentley work his way into the fold? So I actually covered Juwan Bentley when he was at Purdue, and he is a classic old school inside linebacker who comes downhill and he just clobbers you. And Bill Belichick has always valued those types of players, so it wasn't a surprise that Juwan Bentley landed with the New England Patriots. And, you know, I've been underwhelmed with what I've seen from Peyton Wilson in terms of getting off of blocks. There was so much hype and excitement that he could be a three-down guy. And typically when you're talking about inside linebackers and you say they could be a three-down guy, you're talking about can they cover? Well, that's not the question with Peyton Wilson. He can cover very well, but because he's a smaller, leaner body type, I feel like he's been getting pushed around a bit or had a hard time getting to the football as much as he needs to. And I wonder if eventually, maybe not this week, a couple of days after he was signed, but I wonder if eventually Juwan Bentley can be part of that solution going forward.
We talked a lot about Broderick Jones, and for good reason with the struggles he's had. But, Mike, how much do you think maybe the blame should be put on Isaac Seumalo as well? How do you think he's played through the first 2 weeks?
I don't think that he's played nearly well enough. I mean, really, I've truthfully been underwhelmed by Seumalo his entire career here with the Steelers. Like when the Steelers signed him, I was thinking this guy is going to be the leader. Now the Steelers have 1/5 of the Eagles' dominant offensive line. He's going to be the one that shows the other guys the ropes and brings everybody along. You know, he's been up and down. He really has been throughout his Steelers tenure. And I agree with you that he was at least partially responsible for a couple of the sacks this season. So, you know, it's not just the young guys who are struggling. And that's why I wonder how much of this, again, is coaching. That, you know, if you look at Kevin Dotson, he leaves Pittsburgh and all of a sudden turns into a near Pro Bowl caliber guard. And on the flip side, they bring in Isaac Seumalo, who was part of a dominant offensive line with the Eagles, and he's done very little. So, again, I feel like a lot of it is just coaching, player development, putting these guys in the right position.
What's your feel for Sunday's game, Mike? We're talking to Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
You know, I think that the Patriots, they are just so much in the middle of a rebuild that even though the Steelers are going through their problems right now, I just don't think that the Patriots have the roster to beat the Steelers. You know, I know that they've sacked the quarterback a lot. They lead the league in sacks, but their underlying numbers in terms of pressure aren't there. And, you know, the Steelers are right now more of a passing team, and that has been the Patriots' struggle. So, you know, nothing comes easy for the Steelers. I expect it's going to be another one of those close one-possession type of games, but I think the Steelers will get the win.
Limits?
I'm curious what you think of Patrick Queen, Mike, because, you know, I feel like there are some moments where it's like, oh, there's why Patrick Queen is being paid so much money, and then there are other moments he's being pancaked by his own guy and Peyton Wilson being thrown to the back. How would you assess Patrick Queen and what he has to do to just to be a better sideline-to-sideline linebacker?
Yeah, I think that he's been up and down. I think that there were a couple plays where he shot some gaps and got to the football and brought down ball carriers in the backfield, and he looked pretty good. There's times when he looks pretty good in coverage. But then there's also, I think, a lot of times where he gets caught in the wash, isn't able to get to the football. And even yesterday in the locker room, I was talking with him, and he said the same thing. He said, I've got to get to the football more. And I know that he wasn't happy with how he played last year. He felt like he should have been producing more splash. And that was like a big thing for him coming into this year, is he acknowledged that he didn't really live up to expectations last year. And so far, I feel like he's still been a little quiet for as much as you've paid him and as much as you're counting on him. And not to mention, they keep talking about these communication problems in the secondary. And it's not all on him, but he does wear the green dot. So he has to be at least partially implicated by the nature of his role and the responsibilities they put on him as the green dot.
Yeah, that was an awfully strange quote from Juan Thornhill. Almost as strange as his "we're going to be one of the best defenses of all time" quote, when he said it was too loud for them at Acrisure Stadium. That's their home stadium, Mike. And I realize you cheer for the defense when you're at home, but that could be a problem moving forward if you can't get your signals across to people while you're playing at home.
Yeah, and, like, that's something that every team deals with when they're at home, and you have to know that, and they play crowd noise. Like, right now, probably the clicking you were complaining about earlier, Joe, was probably because they're blasting noise over the speakers so that they could practice this nonverbal communication. These are just all parts of having a coherent defense in the NFL. It comes with the territory that you're going to play in a stadium of 70,000 screaming people. And to me, it goes back to, you know, coordination. If you're the defensive coordinator, part of being the coordinator is to making sure everybody can communicate with each other and everybody's on the same page. I understand that you have all these new players, but you also had a training camp. You also had OTAs. And Juan Thornhill showed up for one OTA. He missed OTAs. He showed up for mandatory minicamp. You know, like other guys similarly. You didn't sign Chuck Clark until super late. So, like, you had time to work on these things, and they should be ironed out by now, and they're not, and that's why you're having problems.
Chances that Derek Carmen plays in this game are what?
It's a tough question. Maybe 50-50. I'm about to go out see how much he's doing at practice right now, but, you know, yesterday he was given a limited designation, which tells you for a player coming back from a significant injury that he hasn't worked in team drills or he didn't work in team drills yesterday. I would wonder if they might want to err on the side of caution, because the concern with an MCL sprain is, if you remember a couple years back with RG3, you sprain your MCL, that knee's unstable, and then you can tear your ACL because you don't, obviously it's a problem. So, you know, I would hope that the Steelers think a little bit long-term and don't bring him along too quickly and risk a possible further injury. But I don't know. I'll probably have a better answer for you in 24 hours, Joe.
That sounds delicious. Thanks for taking the time, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Joe. This was great.
Mike DeFabo of The Athletic. Limits, he's becoming nicer as the years go along, huh?
I agree with that, yes. You know, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
You always say, what a wonderful man he's become to people.
Yeah.
Is that insinuating that they were not wonderful beforehand?
Yes.
Oh. So they've improved. I'm glad.
Dramatically, in some cases, yes.
Some people just get nicer, like Jerry DePaula.
Well, now there's a guy who was always nice. Yep. He's the nicest man I ever met.
Him and Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn's up there.
Wonderful
yeah.
people.
Ray Fittipaldo.
Yes.
Doesn't get much nicer than that, does it, Limit?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big night of sports watching for the savvy old news hound here, Limits. I've got the Bills and the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football and my Indiana Fever in a elimination game, game three against the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah.
I'm going to have both games cooking.
I saw they won game two.
Yes, they did.
How about that?
Even without Caitlin Clark, they're fighting.
Kelsey Mitchell had a big day, right?
Man, I can't get, yeah, she did. I can't get enough of that, the WNBA playoffs. I stayed up till 12:30 last night watching Golden State and Minnesota. What a game that was.
Who won?
Minnesota.
Golden State is the Valkyries, correct?
Yeah, expansion team. They took them right down to the wire. I may be the only one watching that in Pittsburgh. I don't know, but I love it. Meantime, I just read a really good story by Jeff Passan, who's the best baseball writer out there, in my humble opinion, on ESPN about the salary cap. And make no mistake about it, Limits, those two words, salary cap, as he puts it, are going to be the focal point of a CBA war that's coming up.
Can I just give a great round of applause to hoping that that actually does happen? Because that would be so good for baseball. It's so past due.
Well, here's the question. First of all, you know, he's putting it in that framework that this is going to be about a salary cap, period. Where the owners are adamant, obviously, for it. And the players, as he says, those two words constitute for them a declaration of labor war. Like those are swear words for them. And he goes into the reasons why on both sides. And the question becomes this. He believes, and a lot of people believe, that it's going to take the league going dark for a whole season, 2027, to get it done. You willing to do that, Limits?
I'm willing to do that.
So am I.
I'm willing to do it.
That's what it took in hockey.
Yeah. Like, it's that would be very unfortunate. One, here's one big reason people aren't even, I mean, they're kind of talking about, but you're losing a full year of Paul Skeens in his prime. You know how hard that would be to miss out on that while he's still pitching for the Pirates, ideally?
Pirates would be hit.
Huge.
Short term as much as any team, but would benefit long term as much as any team.
No doubt. Especially,
you would think. Here's the other thing about a cap, though, Limits. It comes with a floor.
Right.
Okay? So I'm not sure that Bob Nutting would be thrilled with whatever the floor was unless it's accompanied by further, basically, welfare from the rest of Major League Baseball. Like, if they suddenly tell him you have to spend $120, $30, $40 million on a payroll, that could be problematic for him.
It could be problematic, or it could be music to some people's ears that maybe he would not want to spend that money and he would want to get out of the game.
Maybe that, too.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, there's a lot there. A lot there. And it's going to get ugly. I don't think there's any question about that. But, man, if you want to learn about all the ramifications of a cap and what that would mean, the good and bad of it, check out Jeff Passan's story because it's tremendous. How about Max Talbot today? Was he great talking about Game 7, talking about Daniel Carcillo? He knew Carcillo was the guy. Game 7 when he scored 2 goals against the Wings, he was great on that. But he was also great on the shush game with Carcillo, saying he knew he was the guy. He had played with him in Wilkes-Barre, and Carcillo wasn't going to turn down that invitation from Max Talbot in that legendary moment.
No.
But the thing that stood out from our conversation, and thanks to Tyler Kennedy for bringing Max on the air with us today for a whole hour, was the connection that they have. And I mentioned this phrase earlier, and I think it's true. Fred Shiro, father of the late Ray Shiro, said when the Flyers won a cup or two back in the 70s, we win together today, we walk together forever, and you can feel it. Now, it's not always true. You know, there's guys from those Penguins teams, at least way back in the 90s, that I know for a fact aren't fond of each other, but you still have a bond. You still have a bond with those guys for the rest of your life. And man, you could really feel it when Tyler and Max were talking today, couldn't you?
The thing that really stood out to me is the amount of times that TK even said when they were rehashing old stories is, I have goosebumps even thinking about it. Like, he said that at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And it made me think back to just the close, tight relationships that I also think those teams in 16 and 17 had as well. And that's a big part of it. If you're going to win with the amount of talent that you have and overcome the type of adversity that 09 team did, especially playing the Red Wings again, you need that connectness. You need that bond. Hearing their stories about how they would go down and party on Southside all the time, like, that type of stuff does not happen anymore. And to be able to hear just the tight-knit group that formed because of that, and Max talking about how they basically all grew up together to this point where it all met the very top, it all met the peak. Winning that Stanley Cup, it's pretty awesome to hear.
It really was. And then Chris Hoke was unbelievable today. This was like a circle of champions we had going on here between those three guys and Pomp.
We have a—
and then there's me and you.
We have a Mount Rushmore in Bob Pompiani, media member. We have a Stanley Cup champion in Tyler Kennedy, a 2-time Super Bowl champion in Chris Hoke, the savvy old news hound in you.
No, I'm not on that. You and I are the ones who are left out. We should have been asking for autographs today.
We should have, yes.
We're the leftovers.
Well,
look, they all went on to bigger and better things with their day. You and I are still stuck with each other. Nobody's left.
Well, according to Crowley, it was all downhill for TK after the tic-tac-toe goal. Remember that?
Yes, that was a great interview. Might have been the greatest question asked by a fan host in the history of the station. It was all downhill from
there. I think
it's
second to Ron saying, you know what, Eric? You know who you remind me of?
Yeah.
I don't really know if that's a question. But a statement, and that has to be number one.
Yeah, I would agree. Who was it again?
Ron Jeremy. Instead of
right.
Ron Burgundy from Anchorman.
So, Hokey was very critical of Keanu Benton.
Everybody's been critical of Keanu Benton for the right reasons. I mean, he's played poorly. He's not gotten better.
And said that Y.A. Black might be a better alternative up there, and he might be right. He has pounded this point home now for years that I've been doing this show with Hokey on Thursdays, that the technique they're being taught up front is different than when he was a player. And that instead of employing techniques that tie up blockers and allow you to do sort of a anonymous type job up front defensively, that guys want to make plays. And he was clearly implicating Keanu Benton in that.
You know how we use PFF, especially when it benefits our argument?
Yeah.
Here's an instance. Keanu Benton's run defense grade, according to PFF, is 46.5.
Yeah, and if you have performance that poor, And whether it's deep analytics or somebody watching their first football game ever, I feel like I could point down to the field like on a replay of one of these many times they're getting gouged and saying, hey, look at the guy right across from the football on every play. What do you see? And the person would say, oh, he's getting pushed backwards or sideways like he's made of paper. It's just, and you go from there. It's like when Kendrick Green was here, limits on the other side of the ball. Everything in many ways starts in sports, really, but in football, certainly right up the middle at the point of attack. Like Ben had no chance in his final year because he had a guy who was incompetent right in front of him.
Yeah.
And I don't even blame Green for that. I blame the Steelers for drafting an undersized guard out of Illinois and turning him into a center when he didn't want to be one, and sticking him in front of a 39-year-old quarterback in his final year. It was just ridiculous.
Plus Kevin Dotson, who they played on the wrong side of the line. I mean, they played him at the wrong guard position. Then he went off to the Rams and becomes a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the point of attack on both sides. And Keanu Benton has a little more pedigree to him than Kendrick Green did, but it's similar to me. It's like, man, if we're getting that wrong, and if that's a problem on multiple plays per game right at the point of attack, then we're scrambling to make up for that with everything else we do. That is a problem with a capital P. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And it's sunny today with a high of Xavier Grimble. How would you say that?
You remember Xavier Grimble?
Yeah.
I say Xavier with an X.
Okay. That's 85 and a low of 57. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We talked during our brief intermission there, Limits. I mentioned your tiny stature, that you're 5'10 and weigh 140. And then, why did I mention it, by the way? What were we talking about that
I don't know. I think you were singing another song about me or Malzy or
probably
something that came up. Yeah.
Who's the best tiny athlete in Pittsburgh sports history?
Oh, in Pittsburgh sports
history? Yes, Pittsburgh
sports
history.
When I think in general, I think Muggsy Bogues in the NBA. In Pittsburgh sports history...
Why am I drawing blanks? I should have thought of it during our time away. The best tiny athletes in Pittsburgh sports history.
Kenny Pickett's hands?
Yeah, but they weren't good.
No, well, they were good for Pitt. They were good for Pitt.
I mean, Desmond Reed right now, Deion Lewis rushed for 1,800 yards. Check the text limits. They'll be coming in at 412.
Rod Stevens-Alling?
Yes, but Deion Lewis rushed for 1,800 yards. Yeah. He was tiny. 412-928-9370. I'm drawing blanks all over the place. The best tiny Steelers were who? Antoine Randall-El wasn't big.
I don't think he was tiny, though.
Well, how do you define tiny? He was like 5'9".
I don't
know.
You asked the question.
I don't know. Can't you think of anybody?
I'm trying to think of Penguins players that were a little bit undersized.
The Ferraro twins. But neither one was any good. Who was that tiny guy that played with Sid? Gibson? What was his name?
You would have considered Jake Gensel undersized at 5'11", would you?
Is he 5'11"?
Yeah, just 5'11".
Randall L was 5'10". You're right. We need who are the best tiny guys?
We're talking like 5'6".
Yes. Is anybody texting you? I need small, tiny players.
Connor Sherry.
That's a good one.
Deion Lewis was thrown out there by one of the texters.
That's a great one. Let me see about Connor Sherry, who became Connor Sherry by the end of his career.
Yes. Somebody says Arnold Palmer. Was he tiny?
I don't know. He's a golf.
I don't know.
That throws me off. Connor Sherry is a great one at 5'8".
Good pick. LaVance Fields?
He wasn't that small.
I didn't think so.
Was he?
Well, how tall was James Robinson?
He was 5'10". James Robinson was the same. I mean, you know what we're talking about. We're talking tiny, minuscule people. Like Muggsy Bogues, like Deion Lewis was 5'7".
What about Freddie Patek for the Pirates?
Freddie Patek.
Patek, yes.
I guess, but I thought we were doing, he was only 5'5"?
Yeah.
Holy ostrich.
Somebody texts in he's only 4'4", or 5'4".
Okay.
Can you imagine if he was 4'4"?
It's one, what? Yeah, that would be.
Could you imagine 4'4"?
Okay, but he wasn't really good here. Who are the best? Oh, my God. This was even happening in 1970? The dude leaves Pittsburgh after he hits 230 and goes to Kansas City, and he becomes an MVP. He finishes sixth in the MVP vote the first year.
Somebody was says Ben Charrington. Archer.
Was Ben Charrington advising the team then? They were actually pretty good then. They did win a World Series.
A lot of people are saying Fred Potek on the text line.
Okay, Fred Potek. Fine, but he wasn't really good here. I said the best small athletes, didn't I?
Darius Kasparaitis?
Oh, come on.
I'm reading the text.
He wasn't.
Josh Harrison? That's a good pick.
How tall was he? What? First of all, what's the limit on a tiny pro athlete? I say 5'7".
You set the parameters.
5'7" or smaller. You?
I'm fine with that. But I mean, not a lot of athletes are 5'7" or smaller.
Oh, Josh Harrison qualifies at 5'8". He's a great pick. I'm going with Josh Harrison and Deion Lewis right now.
How about Mike Hilton?
Mike Hilton's a nice pick. Yeah, he was tiny. Who are the tiniest Penguins of all time? The Ferraro? Well, Connor Sherry was a good
Connor
pick.
Yeah, Connor Sherry.
I put in tiniest Penguins of all time, and I get clips from the movie The Smallest Penguin in the World.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's not about the actual penguins.
It's about real penguins.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just sit down and watch some nature, Joe. Watch the real penguins.
How big was Duck Hodges?
No, he's like 6 foot.
Yeah, he wasn't that tiny. All right, Limits, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Joe. Good show today. See you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.